Today's sermon is Fear and the Coronavirus. It's been a crazy week as there's been a lot of fear in the whole country. Places like New York, people are buying up food. In California, there's school closures. Brea District is closed for a month. Chino Hills is closed for a month. Disneyland is closed, all because of the coronavirus. So today we want to talk about fear and what the Bible has to say about it. But before I do that, let's look at a quote from Franklin D. Roosevelt. And he says, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." That's so poignant. So what does the Bible say? Isaiah 41:10. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That's such a powerful word. Psalms 23:4 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Psalms 91:1 to 6 also is a very powerful passage, speaking on how God just totally takes care of us and shelters us under his wings. "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday." Wow, that's so powerful. So to summarize it, why do we fear? It's because we don't put our trust in God. So let me just talk about three types of fear. There's immediate fear, impending fear, and potential fear. And I would say 99% of the time, what we fear is potential fear. It's the things that are not like immediate, like right in our face, but it's things that we worry about and are anxious about, like our futures or this coronavirus. Maybe you're out there and you're scared that you might get it. So immediate fear is, you know, your house is burning down right now. You know, the fire is right there and you see the smoke. Impending fear is maybe it's like a ways off. It's like a tidal wave and it's coming at you, but it's not here yet, but it's coming. So what we see is that we all live with a lot of fear, and we need to address those fears, and we have to be able to see that fear is not the answer. Principle number one, fear leads to worry, anxiety, frustration, pain, and agony. Principle number two, fear paralyzes you from making the right decision. So you're scared, you're worried about your exam the next day, you're on the verge of getting a B or whatever, and it just grips you. Principle number three, chronic fear causes health issues and weakens the immune system. This is so true, it can be scientifically proven. Principle number four, the more you surrender to fear, the more things you fear. And I got that from Robert McLaughlin. Principle number five, to the extent to which you surrender to fear, you increase the power of fear over your life until fear becomes an overwhelming motivation way of life. And that's from Robert again. So let's talk about the potential effects of chronic fear. We got learned helplessness. We got phobic anxiety. We got mood swings. We got obsessive compulsive thoughts. So let's look at the story of how King David, how he overcame fear. Let me just read to you in 1 Samuel 30, verses 1 to 16. And some of you might know the story, but here it goes. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the woman and everything else in it, both young and old. They killed some of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, They found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. And here is the greatest line. But David found strength in the Lord his God. That's so powerful. Verse 7. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. Abiathar brought it to him. And David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I ever take them? Pursue them, he answered. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. So we could see here a clear picture that the first thing that David did was he turned to the Lord. He found strength in the Lord. And what does that mean? It means that he took a moment to stop. He took a moment to say, hey, should I go into panic mode? Should I start fearing? Or should I think of all the times in my past that God has delivered me from the lion, the bear, from Goliath? So he had a habit of going to the Lord. And that's what we have to do in moments of fear, in times of panic. We have to go to the Lord. We have to pray. We have to inquire of the Lord. And that's exactly what David did. So if you want a principle out of this, A, find strength in the Lord, pray, and calm your nerves. All right, let me continue reading this story from 1 Samuel 30, verse 9. David and his 600 men with him came to the Besor Valley, where some stayed behind. 200 of them were too exhausted to cross the valley, but David and the other 400 continued the pursuit. They found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David. They gave him water to drink and food to eat, part of the cake of pressed figs and two cakes of raisins. He ate and was revived, for he had not eaten any food or drunk any water for 3 days and three nights. David asked him, who do you belong to? Where do you come from? He said, I am an Egyptian, the slave of the Amalekite. My master abandoned me when I became ill 3 days ago. We raided the Negev of the Kuthites, some territory belonging to Judah and the Negev of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag. David asked him, can you lead me down to the raiding party? He answered, swear to me before God that you will not kill me or hand me over to my master, and I will take you down to them. He led David down, and they there were scattered over the countryside, eating, drinking, and reveling because of the great amount of plunder they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from Judah. So here we see a clear picture of how David didn't panic. He found strength in the Lord. He prayed. And then he took action when the Lord gave him the word. And so he took action. He pursued the enemy, overtook them, and destroyed them. And here it comes to point B. Take necessary action that would address your fears. So to finish the story off, it says, David fought them from dusk until evening of the next day, and none of them got away except for 400 young men who rode off on camels and fled. David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing. Young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else they had taken. David brought everything back. So yeah, once again, we see that David took action and he got everything back and God rewarded his faithfulness. So what do we have here today? We've got a lot of fear and our lives are uprooted. And because of the coronavirus, some of us our schools are canceled. We're going to be, it seems like we're almost going to be quarantined. And Governor Newsom has said that we want to cancel or postpone all meetings with more than 250 people or so. So it's a surreal time. It's a crazy time that we're living in. And what we see is the Bible coming alive right in front of our face. And it seems like we're closer and closer to end time prophecy. So God is telling us to be alert. God is telling us that time is closer. God is telling us to draw close to him, because if you don't have a close relationship with God, you can't hear his voice. You can't discern what's going on, and you'll be like the people in the world who are just panicked. They're so just panicked, and they're scared to death of what's going on. But we want to be men and women of faith. We want to be men and women who hear God's voice, and we know exactly what to do. So let me just take a moment to give us some tips on how to minimize our risk of the coronavirus. We don't want to get it. We want to stay vigilant. We don't want to be quarantined, right? You feel me, right? So here's it. Number one, avoid contact with people in general. And if you know for sure that they're sick or they're coughing or they have a fever, you wouldn't want to go near them. That's like common sense. Number two, you want to avoid using dollar bills. And so, use credit cards or buy things in advance, whatever the case may be, try to wash your hands after you use those dollar bills. Number three, carry 3 ounce hand sanitizer with you at all times. So you can buy these at, Costco. Walmart, little 3 ounce, maybe $1 or $2 or whatever, and just sanitize your hands all the time. Number four, wash your hands thoroughly every day, many times a day. And number five, this is sort of out the box. I got this from an expert, a friend of mine. Take 1,500 mg of liposomal vitamin C. It's spelled liposomal. And you can get that at Amazon.com. So in closing, I just want to encourage all the youth service members that, this is a time where the churches needs to arise. And that's been my prayer to God, that we would arise, that we would not be of the world, but that we would be God's children. And the Bible specifically tells us that we ought to be light and salt. We ought to stand for what's right. We ought to live fearlessly. We ought to be men and women of faith, trusting in God every day, having a close relationship with Him, not keeping our eyes on the circumstances of the world, but keeping our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith. So this, for those of us who are going to be, not going to school for a while or we're going to be, not going to church, what should we be doing? Playing video games? Playing, like having fun? No, we should be using this time to seek God. Ask Him, what's going on, Lord? What's happening in our world? What do you want me to do about this? What is my part in this coronavirus situation? And our part, there's a man of God calling the nation for a 3-day fast. I think it's around March 18th. They're going to do fasting and praying and gathering a whole bunch of people, gathering everyone to say, hey, the family of God, the believers, we're saying no to this coronavirus, and we're gonna ask God to stop the virus. And that's exactly where it's at. We wanna be those that use our spiritual authority. We wanna activate our faith, and we wanna be in a position where we're crying out to God, commanding the virus to stop. So let me just pray for us as I close off this sermon. Dear Father, thank you so much for all the youth. Thank you that you are with us, and there's no fear whatsoever because you have everything under control. You are the sovereign God. Lord, we ask that the coronavirus be stopped in its tracks. We ask that the youth in at VOH would arise, and that we would have an intimate relationship with you, that we would love to pray and to talk with you, and to also listen, to spend time listening, and to draw closer to you every day and read your word. And we confess that we've been distracted, and sometimes we've been distracted by academics or extracurricular activities. But Lord, you know all things. You know our hearts. Bottom line is we want to be closer to you. We want to draw near to you. So God, would you do something special during this time? Would you help us to be a part of your plan, to be in the middle of your will, help us to be the soldiers of Christ that you called us to be. So, Lord, I pray that we'll all use our time wisely and that eventually we'll be able to come back to church soon. In Jesus' name, amen.